Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived-in and feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
Good morning. It is Friday, October 16th. You're listening to the College Football Daily. My name is Trey Scott. Got a football weekend on tap. Some people might be talking about what the weekend does not have. Nick Saban, Florida LSU, Oklahoma State, Baylor, Cincinnati versus Tulsa. But it still has some pretty good games. And that's including the likely game of the year, Alabama versus Georgia. So today on the College Football Daily, we're asking our friends at the Junkyard Dogcast to help us preview that. We're going to play an excerpt from that episode for y'all very soon. I do, before we do that, want to run through a few other games I have my eye on and give you a line or two maybe to watch. Let's start at noon Eastern time on ESPN. Number 14, Auburn, is a 3-point favorite at South Carolina. Auburn's numbers are dragging a little bit, and that's probably because it had to play Georgia 2 weeks ago, but Auburn has a worse rushing attack and passing attack than South Carolina, and South Carolina has a better defense. So if you're looking for a place for Auburn to slip up, and it almost slipped up last week against Arkansas and probably got bailed out by the refs, this would be a good spot for that to happen. Will Muschamp, every single year, has one game where he gets his team to play a little bit better than we expected against a ranked opponent. That could be this week. It would be a very big win for Will Muschamp and a very bad loss for Gus Malzahn. All right, Kentucky at number 18, Tennessee, also at noon on the SEC Network this time. Tennessee is a 6-point favorite. Kentucky spent all summer telling anyone who would listen that quarterback Terry Wilson, back from an injury, was going to help take this offense to another level, not made possible when Lynn Bowden was the Wildcat quarterback. That has not happened. Wilson has been very bad. He's in danger of losing his job to Auburn transfer Joey Gatewood. Kentucky's got a good O-line. They've got a great running attack, but their quarterback play has to get a lot better. Maybe it will against Tennessee. These two always play each other close. Pitt at number 13, Miami. Miami's a 13.5-point favorite, also at noon on the ACC Network. It's a pretty big spread for Miami, which I believe is in trap game upset territory here. Even if they do win, 13.5 seems like a lot. It's a hangover game for the Hurricanes. They had the big one last week at Clemson. Weren't close. Pitt is not going to let them run the ball at all. The Panthers are number 3 in the nation in yards per rush allowed. So they're going to make Miami throw it. 2 weeks ago, we said, cool, no big deal. But the Eric King and that receiving group, they showed a few limitations on Saturday against Clemson. They're going to have to be better against Pitt. Watch for Pitt. Quarterback Kenny Pickett was banged up last week in that loss to Boston College. If he can't go, the Panthers will choose between two different backups. Louisville at number 4, Notre Dame. Fighting Irish, 16.5-point favorite, 2:30 on NBC. A month ago, I thought this might be a great game in the ACC. Louisville has been exposed as a team that is not ready to compete with the conference's best teams. Notre Dame should run right past them. For the Fighting Irish, though, I'm still waiting to see, can their offensive attack get a little bit more explosive? Can the receivers start winning one-on-one battles? Notre Dame is just a few weeks away from hosting number 1 Clemson. After the Louisville game, it goes to Pittsburgh and then goes to Georgia Tech. Fighting Irish are not in trap game territory yet, because that's still half a month away, but just something to keep an eye on as far as Notre Dame and their big test coming up. Number 11, Texas A&M, 6-point favorite at Mississippi State, 4 p.m. Eastern time on ESPN. Both these teams kind of look the same, two maroon squads, farming and agriculture teams. A&M had Jimbo Fisher's signature win last week in Kyle Field beating Florida. Mississippi State, on the other end of the spectrum, had a signature loss for Mike Leach, scoring all of 2 points. Thank you, defense. Thank you for the safety in a loss to Kentucky. Classic bounce back game potentially here. But for A&M, if it can stave off an upset, the schedule does shake out pretty nicely for the Aggies to potentially run the table. I know that sounds crazy, but it's a possibility here in 2020 with the SEC West not looking very good. And A&M, if it does that, is going to be a playoff contender. So keep an eye on that. And again, that's going to be on ESPN. Really good afternoon game. Leading us into number 3, Georgia at number 2, Alabama. The Tide were listed as a 6-point favorite. That line was taken off the board in some parts when Nick Saban, it was announced he has COVID-19. In some places, you can find the line at Alabama minus 4. 8 o'clock, CBS, primetime television. I think it's going to be a great game. It should be. Georgia's defense is historic. Alabama's offense is historic. Georgia's offense is not very good. Alabama's defense does not look like they're very good either. So it's going to be a fantastic test. I enjoyed the Junkyard Dogcast excerpt we're about to play for you guys. Jake Rowe, Kip Adams, and Rusty Manziel. Jake Rowe made a funny point. Like, these are the two most talented teams in college football. But the quarterback duel is Stetson Bennett IV, former walk-on at Georgia, against Mac Jones, who was in the same class as Tua Tagovailoa. Never once in the last few years was Mac Jones ever considered to be the future of the quarterback room in Alabama. It was going to go Tua, and then maybe Tua's brother, Talia. Talia transferred, and then it was going to be Bryce Young, the 5-star true freshman. But no, it's Mac Jones playing like a potential first-round pick versus Stetson Bennett. So much NFL talent on the field. Cannot wait to watch it. Listen up.
That's my first thought before we get into predictions later on, is what's the psyche of Alabama and how does that affect them? Because if something happens and say they have a pick six or they have a block punt, and you just natural as a human, the first thing you think was that wouldn't happen if Coach was here. You know, that's just the way things are. So, you know, I've really tried to put myself in their situation, how they're thinking, and that's the unknown right now is mentally where would Alabama be with Nick Saban not in pregame, not in Friday night meetings, you know, that kind of thing, because it's unknown to all of us, including them.
For sure. Kip, how have your thoughts on this game kind of unfolded as the week is going on?
It's just really interesting because obviously all we can do is kind of compare what we've seen so far this year. And when you look at Alabama's offense, and they haven't played a defense, you know, anywhere close to what Georgia's going to put on the field. You look at Georgia's defense, they haven't faced an offense that's near as explosive as what Alabama's going to field, you know, put on the field this weekend. So you see the strength versus strength and weakness versus weakness. I think I'm just looking at the line of scrimmage and how, I mean, we've said it almost every week. I just feel like in this conference, and that's where a lot of these games are won, and we're going to see, you know, Georgia's defensive line, can they get pressure with 4 against Alabama's offensive line, against Alex Weatherwood, against Evan Neal? Is Georgia's offensive line going to be able to get enough push for them to not be one-dimensional, you know, be able to run the ball and be consistent? I mean, that run game has not really, you know, been what – it was in the past as far as just really truly being a strength and a focal point of the offense. And so, I mean, the line of scrimmage is, you know, it might not be the difference on the surface of this game, you know, when we really start breaking down what we think is going to happen. But I think that when you look at the matchups this weekend, I think really the game is going to be won right there, who's able to establish, you know, and impose their will along the line of scrimmage. And it's just really intriguing to me, just this Alabama team's different than the ones that we've seen Georgia play in the past. I just think, you know, that defense, I mean, is this really how they're going to play all year? Or are they going to have to win games with their offense all year? It just kind of strikes me that defense hasn't really had the discipline that it's had in the past. We thought when he made the announcement that he was coming back, that Dillon Moses' presence right there would be that glue and that would hold everything together. And he has just not gotten back to his previous form yet. He will at some point, I'd imagine, but is it going to happen this weekend? I mean, that's just something that's kind of caught my eye. And just on the flip side, we just watched Alabama's offense have four first rounders. I mean, quarterback Tua, you know, Jerry Jeudy, Henry Ruggs, Jedrick Wills, all gone. And their offense is even better this year than it was last year. It's just truly remarkable what they are able to do, replacing all those players and yet still so far being arguably the best offense in the country.
It's tremendous, man. It really is. And it's very similar to Georgia's defense because there's just experienced guys everywhere. There's depth in a spot in a place where you don't even need that much depth. I mean, they do the receiver position. I mean, really, Mechie, Devontae Smith and Jalen Waddle are the only three wide receivers that have been featured in that offense this year. You got Miller Forstall, a tight end, and then you got the running backs who have caught passes. So it's, you know, they have depth, but they really rely on their main guys. And the offensive line is super talented. You know, losing Jedrick Wills was a blow. And, you know, I'll kind of get into that, I think, whenever I make my pick a little bit, but the offensive line is still very talented, very good, very experienced. You know, a couple, two or three seniors up there, really good football players. Kirby Smart has talked all week about how big they are and that, you know, they talk about wearing you down. And, you know, used an old quote from Nick Saban, I guess, when they worked together about there being weight classes in boxing for a reason, because the big guys kind of wear the little guys down. And that philosophy has worked for Nick Saban. And it's really the only place where he's, you know, really adhered to it heavily. As time has gone on, is that size on the offensive line. They don't have that big dominant nose tackle on the other side. And the strength on strength matchup in this thing is just what's most intriguing. And yeah, you want to try to find a way to go against the grain and find something else, an X factor or something, but that's it. That's the number one matchup, the one everybody's going to be watching. You know, can Georgia limit Alabama's offense, or can Alabama's offense torch Georgia's defense? And, you know, I look back, a lot of people want to talk about the LSU game, the LSU-Georgia game in the SEC championship, and how LSU scored, I think, 37 points or whatever it was. Yeah, the offense had a big part in that because the offense struggled and it probably hurt the defense's morale. But Georgia's defense wasn't on the field the majority of time in the first half. Georgia actually had time of possession advantage at the half. It forced a couple three and outs against LSU. The big factor there and the thing that everybody needs to understand is that it was Joe Burrow's athleticism that changed that game, because Georgia got free runs at him several times in the first half, could not get him on the ground. Dude caught a 15-yard pass, his own pass. You know, so I mean,
Trayvon Walker one-on-one,
right?
Face the dude juked him.
Yeah, I mean, that was it. I don't, obviously nobody knows Mac Jones is a decent athlete, but I don't think Mac Jones can do that to Georgia. I think if Georgia gets those free runs at Mac Jones, it's going to convert at a higher level. But getting those runs at Mac Jones are going to be tough because that Alabama offensive line is so good. And then, you know, obviously you have to look at the weakness on weakness, because while the other matchup may be favored, this one may end up being the ultimate decider. Is Georgia's offense coming along in Todd Monken? Is this the week that it clicks for four quarters? And Alabama's defense has heard how bad it is all week. And one thing I'll point to there, and it's something Rusty and I talked about, we were talking on the phone, I believe it was yesterday. It's tough. It is very rare. And if any team can do it, it's probably a Nick Saban-coached Alabama team. It's really tough to completely fix a fundamental issue like tackling in 1 week, because Alabama was terrible at it against Ole Miss. Now, Ole Miss did a lot of the stuff that they did with pace, and that kind of messed Alabama up a little bit. Alabama didn't tackle particularly well against Texas A&M either. So, you know, that's going to be interesting to watch too, because – when you look at the defenses Alabama's faced, their offenses faced over the first three games, you know, those defenses aren't exactly ranked highly, and a lot of that's got to do with what Alabama did to them. But you got Ole Miss last in the league in yards per play allowed at 8.79. Texas A&M is 11th in the league, giving up 6.75. And Missouri is 9th in the league at 6.26. Like I said, Alabama's numbers against them probably skewed those stats. But Georgia's sitting there at number one at 3.7 yards per play allowed. And, you know, that's been big. I've looked at the numbers a lot this week. And I don't know that the numbers are going to tell the whole story. You're still looking at three games, and everything that Georgia has did to opponents has had a, you know, one has had a 33% effect on what those numbers look like. Just like what Alabama's done to opponents has had a 33% effect on what those numbers look like. Those usually come into play a little better once you get five, six, seven games into the season, and I think you've got a better idea about it. Let's jump into the break real quick. On the other side, I want to talk about Georgia's big-time addition, five-star addition, before we get into our picks.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Let's get into picks, Rusty.
For Georgia, can they extend some drives, and can they establish some running game? I think it's going to be the key to this, but I'll say Alabama 28-27. Very well could be wrong, but kind of my gut feeling on this thing is they're going to make one play more than Georgia in another what should be Georgia-Alabama classic.
Yep. What you got?
Well, you know, I think Rusty did a good job kind of breaking down what could happen. I think in this game, it's going to be important for – both teams to get off to a fast start in this game. I just think that you saw what happened in Georgia versus Alabama in the past, and you saw what happened with Georgia LSU and LSU Alabama, to be honest. It's Georgia winning the early portions of the game with this quarterback matchup, which I do need to point out. I just think it's incredible that we talk about how well these programs are recruiting. But this top five matchup we're about to have is going to place Mac Jones, who was a composite three-star and the number 399 overall prospect in this class. He was the number 18 pro-style quarterback. against Stetson Bennett, who was a two-star in the composite and the 2,569th overall prospect in this class, the number 104 pro-style quarterback. It's just something that we've covered a lot of quarterback commitments. Alabama's obviously gotten some big-time ones. It's just fascinating that these are the quarterbacks starting for both programs. But I do think that that could be a difference in the game, because when Georgia's defense has not been able to get to the quarterback, I mean, Alabama has had whether Jalen Hurts and Tua out there, guys that it's a little unpredictable. You don't know what they're going to do all the time. I mean, we kind of know. I mean, Mac he's not a statue, I guess, but you know where he's going to be during the play for the most part. And so Georgia being able to get home and affect him could have a huge impact in this game. And I think that the difference in the game really could be special teams. You know, Jake Camarda, Georgia leads the country in net punting. And I think that that's something that was not a strength early on last year, got better as the year went on. And now, I mean, to lead the country, it's almost 48 yards. And that's a huge impact. I mean, Alabama is 67th, you know, out of 76 teams in punting right now, 33.5 yards. Now, how many times have they had to punt? You know, again, that factors in, but at the same time, they're not getting that hidden yardage that Georgia's getting. And then, you know, at the same time, I think that Georgia could, you know, have a big special team, a big kickoff return that has an impact in the game. And I honestly think that this could be, I mean, Georgia could have a kickoff return for a touchdown in this game, and that could be the difference in the game. It's just these teams are that closely matched. And I think that at the end of the day, special teams, turnovers, those are the difference points here. And if Stetson Bennett can take care of the football, not turn the ball over, then Georgia comes out of this game. Same score as Rusty. I got Georgia 28-27 after picking them to win 21-20 in the preseason. I think that, you know, Alabama's offense is a little bit more explosive than what I thought. But I also think that Georgia's offense is getting better every week. And I think that they're going to give them a chance to win that game late.
Here's the way I look at it. And this is kind of linear, and it's not the way football always pans out, but it's something that's come to my mind several times this week. You look back at that 2018 game, which has zero impact on this game, okay? Is Alabama better or worse offensively? I would say if it was a 10 that year or a 9, it's a 9 or an 8 this year, because I think it, you know, Tua's mobility, Tua's raw talent, I think raised the ceiling. No Jerry Jeudy, no Henry Ruggs, no Jedrick Wills. I think Alabama's offense is elite, but a step down from what it was that year. You look at Alabama's defense from that year, I think it's, if it was a 9 that year, it's a 5 or a 6 right now. And that's just calling it bluntly. Then I look at Georgia, maybe a tick down offensively, probably on the same level when you consider the emergence of Kyaris Jackson. No DeAndre Swift from that 2018 game, that's a big one. And, you know, I'm sitting here thinking to myself, if Georgia had a running back that just scared people, that like DeAndre Swift, like Sony Michel, not Nick Chubb, I think this would be a little bit more of a no-brainer for me. And then Georgia's defense is better. No doubt about it. Listen, if Georgia loses DeAndre Walker, which if you want to go back to the Nick Saban thing, there's not an Alabama fan out there that is sad that they beat Georgia when DeAndre Walker went out for the fourth quarter, okay? So, you know, Georgia lost a key player in that game, and it affected the outcome of the game because Jalen Hurts started breaking contain constantly after DeAndre Walker's injury. But if Georgia loses their top pass rusher, well, they've got another one. And if they lose that guy, they've got another one. And you know, it goes four deep there when you consider Jermaine Johnson's going to be back. So I think Georgia's defense front to back much better than it was in 2018. Again, that none of that has really any effect on the game, but when I'm talking about these teams matching up, that's one thing I've kind of come back to is I don't think Alabama's quite where they were as a team then, and I think Georgia may be a little better. Now, will that equate to a win? I agree with Rusty. I think Alabama's going to score 27 points. I think Alabama's going to score. Yeah, I think Alabama's going to score 27 points. I think Georgia's going to score. You had Alabama at 28, didn't you, Rusty?
Yeah, 28-27.
Right. Yeah, I've got Georgia at 27 points. So I agree with Rusty there. Sorry, but I think Alabama's going to score 24. I've got Georgia 27-24. I picked Georgia by 3 in the preseason, 20-17. I think this Alabama offense is a little better than I thought it was going to be, even though I'm really interested to see how it matches up with this Georgia defense and you know, the fact that they're going to run all of those three receivers out there and go with them nonstop. But I just think that this is a game, and it comes back to another element for me, and it's Stetson Bennett. And listen, I've put it out there, guys. I put it out there in print last week. I'm still a Stetson Bennett doubter. But one thing I don't doubt about him, I don't doubt his makeup. I don't doubt his moxie. I don't doubt his toughness and his ability to handle the moment. I think Stetson Bennett's going to go out there and expect to win this game. I think he's going to put together another 200-yard passing game, his fourth straight to start his career as a starter. And, well, actually third straight as a starter, fourth straight this season. And I think Georgia gets a win. I think it's going to find a way to do just enough. And I do think Georgia's going to be able to get a little pressure on Mac Jones, but I don't think it comes until the second half. It's not going to shock me if you're looking at a 21-17, 20-17 Alabama lead or something like that, 17-10, because Alabama's had a lot of success in the first half. But Georgia's has been such a great second-half defense this year. It's allowed 6 points in three games in the second half that I think that's going to also show up as well. And my player of the game is I'm going to go from the defensive side of the ball, and I'm going to say I've been going back and forth between Adam Anderson and Azeez Ojulari, but I'm going to go with Azeez Ojulari. I think he's going to come up with a couple big sacks in the second half of this game, couple sacks in big situations, maybe one on third down, and I think that's going to be Georgia's player of the game. Guys, that's all we got for this one. It's all the talking's over now. It's time to play a football game. It's time to see number 2 versus number 3 in Tuscaloosa. That environment, everybody. And listen, if you're going to get Alabama and Tuscaloosa, this is year to do it. It's not going to be a packed house, but it's still going to be electric. It's still going to be effective. I've seen a couple games at Georgia already where the crowd was involved, and they affect the opponent, and Alabama's crowd's going to affect it. But we'll see how it goes. We've made our picks. Everything's down, and we'll catch you guys next week to talk about, or actually on Sunday, we'll catch you guys to talk about how it all went and break it all down for you. But for this episode of the Junkyard Dogcast, I'm Jake Rowe with Dogs 24/7. They're Kip Adams and Rusty Mansell from the same place, and you guys take it easy.
All right. Thank you, Jake. Thank you, Rusty. Thank you, Kip. My prediction, Alabama by 3. Thank you for listening to the College Football Daily. We will talk to you all next time on Monday when we recap Week 7. Hope you enjoy it.
Baseball has begun, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Sample, every Monday through Saturday as we deliver all of your fantasy baseball needs in just 5 minutes. We'll break down the biggest performers, news, and prospects who could make an impact this season. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.